Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock Million Dollar Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
For somebody who likes to, you know, we want to fix college basketball. Here's my one plan for college basketball. The Duke Carolina game has to be the last game shown on television every time it's played, because every game after that looks like it's being played in a production studio. There's just no way to match that environment. The next game just seems like, is this real? I don't know. Just thinking out loud, it's really more about the atmosphere that you have at Cameron or at the Smith Center.
Yeah, you could do that, but it would just push the game later. I mean, that 6:30 window it's been in lately is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So I think you do that game for its own sake, and everybody else is going to have to compete with it. I don't know that that put it at a different time really enhances anything else or all that. It's always our highest rated game, and it is for a reason. It's an unbelievable event.
John Shire said after the game, and I really want to make this about going forward. John Shire said after the game that all of the problems are correctable, or they are in their control. And I would agree with that, except that I'm not sure that they're in his control against North Carolina and the way they play, because I think that's their MO, their defense-first mentality. I think that's pretty tough for Duke to compete with.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, you know, Carolina got all the loose balls, and that's not a defense thing. And there are a lot of teams that are defense first. Houston is defense first.
Right.
You know, it's not horribly unusual. It's a little bit unusual for Carolina that you're not talking about their transition game or their offensive rebounding or how powerful they are offensively. They can really score, but it's not like in years past where they had all this lottery talent. They could just, you know, roll up, 80, 90, 100 points in those games, like their 09 team. It's been a long time since, and I can't remember it, frankly, where defense was the lead story with North Carolina. But, you know, after the initial sort of punch in the mouth that Duke got, they were, you know, competitive and got it down to one possession. I think it was how they started, and, you know, Carolina set the tone, and it was one of physicality, and, you know, they were men, and Duke didn't match it. But once they started to match it later on in the game, it is just too big of a hill to climb. And, you know, I mean, how do you, how do you quantify like that shot that Cadeau made?
Right.
you know, he doesn't make that. It's different. Maybe it's different, I should say. And Cormac Ryan at 31 points, he's knocking shots down. But the first two or three that he got were off of Duke mistakes and let him out in transition. And he winds up getting, he basically hit two threes from the same spot in the right corner in the first 5 minutes of the game. And it was sort of, you know, Duke was on the canvas and had to get back up. But I think those things are correctable. You know, that wasn't schematic, and neither was, doing your work early to come off a screen, you know, set your man up and do those things. I mean, Duke wasn't doing that early, and they started doing it much better late, but in a way it was kind of too late.
Jay Billis is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You said they're older, they're men. And I know this actually sounds like Mike Krzyzewski, because he has said that before about other teams, but North Carolina is. I mean, their top four scorers, you know, those players not named Elliott Cadeau, have all got a ton of college basketball miles on them. Maybe not all here. I mean, Harrison Ingram, of the top four players, he's like the baby, and he's a junior. So maybe this is his first go-around in playing games of this magnitude. That stuff all matters, doesn't it?
It can. Again, like you're talking about a game where I can't remember the final score, but it was, 6-7 points or something. And it was a one possession game late in the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're talking about a gigantic gap that one team beat the other by 25. We've had games like that in the past, but it wasn't that. You know, Duke is comparably talented. They're probably not quite as deep, but you know, like it's not like North Carolina. They're Final Four capable. They're really good. But it's not like they have a huge talent gap. And they've got three guys that can make shots, you know, R.J. Davis and Cormac Ryan and Harrison Ingram. No other player on the team had even 10 made threes on the season going into that game. And I'm not sure that's even changed. I think Cadeau had 8, and now he's got 9 after hitting that one. Right. As the shot clock went off. He might have 10, but, like, nobody – that's pretty extraordinary.
Right.
But their role players come in, play their roles. Like Seth Trimble is a really good defender. And you know, you'd say play him for the drive, and he drives anyway because he's a powerful athlete and powerful driver. And that goes for Cadeau. I mean, Cadeau doesn't make shots consistently, but he gets into the lane and makes things happen. And he's gotten more aggressive and better as the season has gone along. So, you know, if they run into a game where somebody decides they're going to take R.J. Davis out and turn him into more of a 2-point scorer, and you have Ryan and Ingram not consistently, you know, able to make shots, anybody can get clipped in that scenario.
Sure.
That's what I'm talking about. This is not sort of a North Carolina team that's had, you know, the kind of lottery talent they've had in the past. But what's the impressive thing to me is how gritty and together they are. And they're willing to do the quote-unquote the dirty work out there.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
That not every team is willing to do collectively, and nobody seems to be discontent with their role. They seem to be embracing it. And people like me say that because it sounds good, but I really think that's true with North Carolina this year. It's really impressive to watch.
It is obvious that they absolutely do embrace all of their roles. And the only thing that really matters is winning. I don't want to belabor all the point. I don't want to waste too much of your time with it. But I know that there are a lot of people that saw what Kyle Filipowski did with Harrison Ingram, and they were both culpable in the initial part of the incident. You have any thoughts on? I mean, I don't think anything should happen in terms of discipline, but any thoughts on what we saw?
Yeah, sure. You know, when it happened and we saw the replay, you know, it was clear that it was an intentional trip to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you were listening to the game, but I said, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
You know? Because the first thing you think of is Grayson Allen in that situation. And it's probably not fair. Filipowski should have had a flagrant one called on him. The referees didn't see it, as far as I know, and there was no move to go over to the replay. If they'd seen the replay, it would have been an F1, and that would have been the end of it. Filipowski would still be listening to the same thing because, you know, anything that happens with Duke, and I'm sure with North Carolina and all that stuff, the big shots, it gets magnified. But I'm not sure it's necessarily fair to Filipowski that he has to drag the Grayson Allen stuff with him, but he needs to be mindful of that people are going to paint him in that light. And then, you know, the thing at the end of the game, you know, I'm sure people who are Duke fans are saying, well, the Carolina fans shouldn't have been, or the Carolina players shouldn't have been saying anything to the crowd. And then the crowd starts throwing stuff. And, you know, I'm pretty, law and order when it comes to that. Like, I think when the crowd says whatever they want, you got to expect the players to say whatever they want. I have no problem with that. Say whatever you want. Well, you know, within decorum, you can't be a complete loser on that. But once you throw something, I mean, they need to identify whoever threw anything and either, you know, suspend them from going to games. You know, if you want to take the you know, sort of the extreme route. You can give them some sort of citation or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not acceptable anywhere. And so that should be dealt with. And if Duke doesn't do that, I think they're missing the boat. There are cameras all over the place in that building. They can find out who did it. And if they do find out, they should face some sort of disciplinary action. If there were students, then the school can do it through the, you know, student undergraduate disciplinary board or whatever. Or they can say, hey, no more games for you. Can't come back to games for a year, 6 months, or whatever they want to do. But it shouldn't just be, hey, don't do that again. Everybody right. kind of knows the rules in that. You throw something on the court, bang, you're out. I don't think that's controversial to say that.
Jay Billis is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. A couple of quick things, then we'll let you go, and I appreciate your time today. The ACC has fought a perception problem. It might not even be a perception problem. I think North Carolina is good enough to win it all. I think Duke, if they catch some breaks, I think can get to the Final Four, and then you throw your hat in the ring. I don't think that there's anybody else that I can see getting that far in the league. It really is kind of top-heavy. How do you see the ACC versus the bracketologists?
Well, I think the league is better than it gets credit for further down, and that's sort of the issue. We're living in a world now where how many teams you get into the tournament is sort of the determining factor in how good of a league you are. I don't particularly see it that way, but you know, the ACC probably does have some work to do in doing what some of these other leagues have done with consulting the analytics and making sure that the schedules of all the teams in their league are helpful to the league. And the ACC's got a problem right now that they can't, you know, that Jim Phillips couldn't do anything about. You know, he had some coaching turnover and some things like that where some of the brand names in the league are not as good as they've been. You know, Louisville's not any good. Mm-hmm. You know, Notre Dame's rebuilding. You got Syracuse had a coaching change. And they've done a good job, but they probably are outside looking in the bubble discussion right now. And, you know, there are other teams we could, you know, Miami's had all these injuries, yeah. So they're not as good as they've been. So that's really dragged the league down. If you lose to one of those teams, you take a huge hit. If you beat one of those teams, it doesn't help you. And I think there's going to have to be some scheduling. But if you look at some scheduling revisions in the future to make sure that they're doing it according to what benefits the league overall. And, like, if you look at some of the middle teams in the ACC, you'd have a hard time convincing me that they're not just as good, if not better, than some of the teams that are being talked about as no-brainers in the Mountain
right.
West. And what I would do, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Mountain West, but I will tell you, and I've said this publicly, if I were commissioner of the ACC, I would call the Mountain West and I would schedule an ACC Mountain West challenge tomorrow. And I would tell the commissioner, we'll play every game at your place. And like, you know, just go out and start fixing this perception issue through playing. And you may get a black eye. This team may lose. That team may lose. But I think overall the league would do very well in one of those things.
You know, if we had the football committee, we could watch, we could have them watch Pitt or Wake play and go, yeah, those teams look like somebody I wouldn't want to play because I think Pitt's got players. I think Wake's got players. Look, I know they've lost on the road, and maybe we could say to Wake Forest, you shouldn't have lost to Notre Dame, although Notre Dame was certainly much better at the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season. But those look like teams that can not only you know, win a game, but maybe win two or even three, given the right matchup. And I think Pitt's got maybe a couple of pros on it, especially in the backcourt. I just think those teams are really good, and they might not even get in.
They are good, and they are worthy of getting in. But we had the same discussion last year with Clemson. Like, I couldn't believe that the committee left Clemson out. They're not going to leave them out this year, but they left them out last year.
Right.
And you're kind of going, what are you guys watching? But the truth is, like, they can't make these judgments. They're looking at all these teams, and some of the records look similar, and it really just gets down to a counting exercise, like how many quad one games did you win, and how many quad twos, and what's your record here. To me, you don't even consider anything that's outside. If you play a game against a team that's outside the top 100, I wouldn't even count it unless you lost it.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
You're not going to play any of those teams in the NCAA tournament if you're on the bubble.
Right.
So it should be, can you beat the really good teams out there? And if you can't, and I get it, some of these other smaller conference teams don't get as many bites at the apple. But that's not Pitt's fault, and that's not Clemson's fault, and that's not, you know, you name the bubble team.
Right.
That's not, you know, it's almost like they say, like this year with Indiana State, you know, Indiana State lost a heartbreaking game to Drake, and they've won 28 games and they may get left out of the tournament. And people's hearts bleed for Indiana State. They were crying after the game.
Yeah.
But, and I get that. I think that's right. But, you know, it's really a question of, well, who do you want to make cry? You know, do you think the Pitt players wouldn't cry if they were left out? Of course they would. And so I think the committee has a responsibility to take the best teams after the automatic qualifiers are in, and they're going to make somebody cry. And the idea that major conference players don't cry is kind of absurd.
Yeah, well, they're going to make fewer schools cry later on when they expand to whatever number they're ultimately going to expand to. So you're going to have to give us the Billustrator look at the top 78, 86, 90, whatever. Are you ready?
Yeah, they're just going to make the fans cry when they do that, because who wants to watch that?
Or when you have to write that.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. But they're probably going to do it because they're worried that the big shots are going to break away if they don't get what they want. But the idea that we're going to take a 68-team tournament and make it even bigger, you're kind of going, really? Like, come on now. You know, why throw more banana peels in the way of the very best teams to win a national championship? It's a national championship event. It's not everybody gets a trophy. And I don't know why we keep doing this, but, you know,
yes,
every
you
time we make it better, people watch it.
Well, that's right. That's why they're doing it, because they believe it will make them more money. And every decision in college sports these days is made for one reason and one reason only. And that is the sad part about it. Jay Billis, I appreciate your time, sir. At Jay Billis on Twitter. You're going to D.C., right?
I'm in D.C.
Oh, yeah. You're already there.
Yeah, I just learned when I landed that it's the nation's capital. So that was nice for me to learn.
Very nice. It's already an educational trip.
It's been great. So across the street from the Smithsonian, so I may go in there.
Yeah, go to Archives. Archives is fun. I'm a big fan. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Jay Billis here on The Adam Gold Show.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks. You're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.